Hello and welcome to our program. Today we continue our series in the little book of Malachi. It is a little book with a big message. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Now, the burden, we said last time that burden means that to which the soul is lifted up. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so we have a man here, his name is Malachi. We don't know much about him. There's the only time his name is mentioned is here in verse number 1 of this book. But we do know that he had a burden. And a burden is that which lifted up his mind, his will, and his emotions, and it affected how he lived. Now, we could well ask ourselves the question, what affects my mind, my will, and my emotions? Am I lifted up about the cause of Christ or the condition of our churches or lost friends or lost family members, people who do not know the Lord? In Malachi's day, people who had come out of a revival but had gone into an era of apathy, and apathy leads to apostasy. Now, we're dealing here with the remnant of people who had come back from Babylon, and the hope for the cause is the remnant. God has always had a remnant. We've mentioned that several times. You go all the way back to the time of Noah, and there was a very small remnant that got on that boat. We come up to the time of Isaiah, and Isaiah said, had it not been for a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and we would have been as Gomorrah. We get to when Christ was born, and, oh, there was a lot of activity going on in the temple, but there was a very small remnant, a few shepherds that showed up the night that Jesus was born. And even when the church began, the early church, and they started to build their local churches, they just had a small remnant. During the ministry of Christ, he had 12, and one of them was a hypocrite. And then as the churches began, we see that 7 times in the New Testament, after the original dust died down, we find 7 times they were meeting in their homes. And they were organized churches. They had pastors and deacons and so on. They weren't just disgruntled people who decided to have a home meeting and call it church. They were small in number. They had a remnant. 7 times you'll refer to it in the New Testament about the church that is in somebody's house. And so God has always had a remnant. And in Malachi's day, the remnant, they had come back to Jerusalem. Most of them were quite content to stay under the captivity of the Persians. But the remnant came back, and they were excited for a while, but that soon died down. And by the time we get to the series here where we're looking in the book of Malachi, we find that the apathy has set in among the remnant, and so that little remnant soon had very little genuine concern for the Lord's work and doing the Lord's work the Lord's way and knowing about the Lord's will. They were basically self-centered and living for themselves. And so as we get into the book of Malachi, we see that Malachi had a burden about that. He had a burden about that. Well, then we see that he talks to the leadership. He has a very straightforward message. He says to them in verse number 6, "O priests that despise my name," he said in verse 7, "ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar." And they said that the table of the Lord was contemptible. We read in verse number 8, they offered the blind for sacrifice. He said, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Now they were still under the Persians at this time, and what Malachi is saying here is you have more respect for the Persian governors than you do for God. Well, they had got to the place where, like the Laodicean leadership in Revelation chapter 3, which was written to the pastor, note that carefully. We talk about the seven churches. We say seven letters to seven churches. No, every one of those churches, it starts out addressing the letter to the pastor. And of course, he was to preach it to the churches. But the claims here of things being done wrong that the Lord was saying was directed at the pastor. And he said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15, "Pastor, thou art neither cold nor hot." Then he said in verse 17, "Thou knowest not." That is, they didn't have the capability to discern. It was like Malachi's day where they knew not. They said in Malachi 1 and 2, "Wherein hast thou loved us?" And 1 and 6, "Wherein have we despised thy name?" And 1 and 7, "Wherein have we polluted thee?" And 2 and 17, "Wherein have we wearied thee?" And 3 and 7, "Wherein shall we return?" And chapter 3 and verse 8, "Wherein have we robbed God?" They didn't have a clue how far from God they really were. And that's the way it is in this age in which we're living in today. I call it Laodicean fundamentalism. They're neither cold nor hot. They know not that they are polluting the name of Jesus Christ, many of them polluting it with what we call CCM music. And God says here in the church at Laodicea in verse number 15 of Revelation chapter 3, "I would you were cold." Now, he did say, "I would you were cold or hot," but he put cold first. He said, it's better you were cold than lukewarm. And so it's better if we just shut the doors of a church like that. Is that right? Yeah, Malachi 3 and verse 9 and 10, if you read it there, he said, God said through Malachi, "This has been by your means." He said in verse number 10, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors?" He said in verse 10, "I have no pleasure in you." He said, "Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." Better to shut the door than to have a weak, middle-of-the-road, so-called fundamental church. The prophet Isaiah, he had the same situation. We read in Isaiah 1, verses 11 through 15, he said, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" God said, "I am full of the burnt offerings. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Bring no more oblations." That word has been translated offerings 164 times. "Bring no more offerings of incense. It is an abomination unto me. Your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them," the Lord said. "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear." And so we have this sad situation in Isaiah's day. We have this sad situation in Malachi's day. And we have the same sad situation today. Well, we get to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 11. And we have another sad comparison that Malachi makes concerning these people. He says, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." He's saying, my name is, they have more respect for my name among the Gentiles, the Lord says, than they do amongst God's people. You'll see again in verse number 11, he says, my name three times. He says, my name shall be great among the heathen, but ye have profaned it, he says in verse 12. Down at the end of Malachi 3 and 14, he says, my name is dreadful. The word has been translated reverenced three times. My name is reverenced among the heathen. What a sad comparison that the heathen had more respect for the God that Israel said they worship. And so we see here in this portion of Scripture in the book of Malachi that God is directing his attention toward the priests. Now, the priests are the spiritual leaders. The thing is that we need to understand that all Christians are priests unto the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." He said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." And so let us not sit back and say, well, yeah, that leadership better smarten up. We are all in a form of leadership in one way or another. Everybody is influencing somebody. God looks down today, and in the local churches, he has put pastors, and pastors have a responsibility to preach the word. But then in the homes, he's put parents, and especially the fathers, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And there is the responsibility of spiritual leadership there. And most people who call them fundamental independent Baptist fathers never take time on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, to train their children in the things of the Lord. They send them off to the church, or they send them off to a Christian school and try to get someone else to do the job for them. No, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We are all spiritual leaders to some degree. Somebody is being influenced by somebody every day. And so this, we need to come up with sacrifices that are acceptable unto God. We read here in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, God says here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," that's everybody, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And in verse number 2, he said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Ephesians 5:10 says we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The privilege of leadership brings responsibility. Now, responsibility is the state of having the God-given duty to deal with something and having authority over some people. We have a responsibility, a God-given responsibility, and we also have a God-given accountability, and that is we can be blamed and will be blamed by God for not doing what we are responsible to do. Luke 12 and 48 says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And James 3 and 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That word condemnation has been translated judgment 13 times. We began this program reading verse number 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel" by Malachi. Now, the burden, we said, is that to which the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions is lifted up. And so Malachi had a burden. Do you have a burden? What affects your mind, will, and emotions? What about your family? What about the cause of Jesus Christ? What about the condition of our churches today? Are you burdened about that? If you're not, you should be.